You're listening to the DCAU Review, hosted by Cal and Liam. Streaming on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and at DCAUReview.com. Now, here's today's episode.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 82 of the DCAU Review. I am Liam, and with me, as always, is Cal. Cal, we are wrapping up the month of November. We are wrapping up our final time in the world of Batman the Animated Series, for this year anyway, and we got an interesting episode to go out on.
Absolutely. So we are talking today about the, technically I guess it's season two, maybe not, it originally aired in the very first season, I don't know, second DVD set, how about that, of Batman the Animated Series. We're talking about Night of the Ninja.
Yeah, as you alluded to, this actually aired much earlier on than even some of the episodes we'll talk about even later in these volumes, but in the production order, it was here in this second volume, whatever you wanna call it. But yeah, we have as you mentioned, it's Night of the Ninja. It's an episode that delves into Bruce Wayne's past a little bit and kind of sets up a new threat for him. But before we get into discussing the plot, music, visuals, and voice acting, as we always do, we're going to start off with my favorite part of it, and that is, of course, the episode synopsis that I copy and then read from IMDb.
This is always the great part of the episode, Liam, the best part. Now, just for everybody at home, this episode debuted on October 26th, 1992, so just a few weeks past the 27th anniversary of this episode. So, yeah. Man, 27 years ago, this thing debuted before you were even alive.
How about that? Yes, but as we mentioned, this is Night of the Ninja, an episode that was written by Steve Perry, not the guy from Journey.
different guy.
Yeah, and directed by Kevin Altieri, and that synopsis reads as such. A former fellow student of one of Bruce Wayne's old senseis begins stalking the billionaire in revenge as a ninja. That is not IMDb's best work, I have to say. Mostly because I don't think any of those were complete that was a real long run-on sentence.
As a ninja. Got
it. Stalking the billionaire in revenge as a ninja. But that is basically as it always does. It at least sort of explains what happens. But yeah, the episode opens with Wayne Cosmetics, I believe it is.
We learned so many Wayne things.
Yeah, he apparently it's kind of like, I mean, we talked about that in Superman, how Lex Luthor has like 38 different businesses and owns, I think he even says like he owns like 70% of Metropolis, whether people realize it or not, or something like that. But apparently Bruce is kind of the same thing here in Gotham, as he has apparently a very, very wealthy and profitable cosmetics company, as this mysterious ninja shows up, attacks a security guard, steals a bunch of money, and as we find out later, also steals the bank codes for that specific business. Through some expositional dialogue, as we see Bruce and Dick training, we find out that this is like the sixth or seventh Wayne business that's been attacked or vandalized or stolen from in the last month. Bruce, once he sees that a ninja star was using the attack, begins to have these flashbacks to his time training in Japan, including to his sort of tiff that he had with this other student named Kyodai Ken. And of course, as fate would have it, and it turns out that the ninja and Kyotai Ken are in fact one and the same.
What are the chances?
As we discover when Robin hits him with a batarang, which tears the back of his suit, and then Bruce sees his very familiar back tattoo. Everyone, you know, you're always going to be undone by a tattoo on your back. I think that's what we learned this week. But yeah, I guess from there, it's kind of straightforward. Bruce trying to find a way to stop him. There's also kind of a subplot with Summer Gleason trying to get to the bottom of why this ninja character is targeting Bruce Wayne so aggressively and trying to dig into his past and from there. But I guess big picture thoughts, Cal, what did you think of the plot of Night of the Ninja?
I didn't hate it, I guess is the nicest thing I could say about it. It's not a bad episode. I think overall the plot is okay. I think it's interesting. I appreciate that we get some more of Batman's origin story sort of filled in there. You develop some ancillary characters with this ninja guy and then his sensei that actually comes into play later on in a couple additional places we learn. So maybe even in Justice League Unlimited, I recall, isn't there a samurai in the epilogue episode?
Yeah, is that one of the Royal Flush Gang members?
Maybe, I don't know. Anyway, doesn't matter. Anyway, I feel like there's another flashback at some point where we see this character and like it's sort of alluded to that this is Bruce's sensei. But regardless, yeah, it's an interesting idea, and I kind of like the idea of Bruce having a rival, someone that developed in this training center that didn't accept him because he's this rich white guy from America that's come to train.
Which, fair enough. To be
absolutely. Absolutely. And the whole thing of, you know, the guy's cute eye Ken's beef with Bruce is that he's this, you know, pampered white guy, rich white boy who comes over and has, you know, the world on a silver platter handed to him, whereas, you know, the rest of the world has to work for things, and you know, it's not as easy for other people. Of course, Cute Eye Ken is clearly also insane, so right, that's why he ends up trying to steal a priceless sword and gets kicked out, so he blames Bruce. I would have been perfectly fine with this just being a straight-up revenge story of him coming back to just ruin Bruce.
Yeah.
I feel like the story takes a weird left turn, like they had to make this guy, and Summer Gleason even comments, she's like, you're just a common criminal, like a common thief.
Because, yeah, as I mentioned near the end there, he's like, oh, and also when I was vandalizing all your businesses, I also got all your bank codes, so I'm going to steal all of your money.
What a ridiculous... I mean, I know it's 1992 and technology was not... Or
maybe the 1930s,
who
can tell.
Or maybe the 1930s, who knows, right? But still, like, you're not just going to steal somebody's quote-unquote bank codes and steal all of their money and it just disappear. Like, what a ridiculous plot.
Right.
That sort of flipped this episode on its heels a little bit. I like the fact that Robin plays a somewhat major role in this episode because it gives strength to the Robin character. We talked a couple weeks ago during Robin's Reckoning. There hasn't been a lot of fleshing out of this character. That episode did a lot for fleshing out who Robin is. This actually shows Robin training with Bruce, Bruce sort of training Robin in the martial arts, and then Robin aiding Batman as Bruce Wayne when he's asked Bruce Wayne and sort of holding his own against this clearly black belt ninja that gave Batman a run for his money. So it's some good Robin in this episode. Overall, I think it's just a very, very weird left turn out of nowhere that, like I said, that turns into he's going to steal all of Bruce's money. He's not just going to ruin him, he's going to steal all his money too.
Right.
Just ridiculous. And it kind of feels very plot device-ish that they had to have Summer Gleason get captured so Bruce couldn't just straight up kick the ninja's ass right away.
Right.
Which is weird because I don't think he needed to tell that story because he clearly had issues fighting him on the rooftop.
Yeah.
That when they first meet, the ninja gets the best of him and Robin has to sort of save Batman from dying, getting his head chopped off.
And to be fair, at this point, Cute Eye Ken does not appear to know that Batman and Bruce are the same person. True. And he does so, like, he uses gas when he fights Batman, whereas with Bruce, he's trying to have, like, a straight-up, you know, hand-to-hand fight.
Right.
So, but, yeah, you had to create a reason why Bruce couldn't just fight him one-on-one, which was Summer Gleason is watching, and he can't do his Batman moves while Summer's watching, so...
Which feels like a very, like, we've said that a lot over the last month, I feel like, but it feels like a very Batman 66 plot device is he goes to do his ninja moves, but then he realizes he can't because he'll expose his secret identity, and then Robin rolls a carpet down over top of Summer Gleason in order to protect it. It's a little much. It's not I wouldn't put this in a bad episode plot category.
No.
But it's not super good either. I just kind of went middle of the road, 5 out of 10 for plot. What about you?
Yeah, I'm a little stronger, but just barely. I'm 6 out of 10. Like I said, I do appreciate that there's some sort of resolution, because kind of throughout the whole episode, Robin and Alfred are talking about how Batman like won't accept help, and he won't talk about why he's so frazzled by this ninja guy and all that. And finally at the end, Robin kind of finds a way to help him while still allowing Batman to kind of, or Bruce to kind of exorcise this demon on his own. And at the end, Bruce kind of somewhat begrudgingly maybe, but kind of gives Dick props for it and thanks him for getting involved, because he was was Bruce prepared to just die if Robin wasn't there?
I don't know. He seems to be, I was just about to say, it seems needlessly secretive in this episode. Like, he has a very similar reaction to Robin that he had to Robin in Robin's Reckoning.
Yes.
Where he cuts him off and doesn't really want to share the information, so Robin has to go and do his own detective work. Maybe that's what they were trying to do, is show that Robin mm-hmm. is equal a detective, even though in Robin's Reckoning he just puts the information into a computer. In this yes. episode, he just goes to Alfred and asks some questions. But I don't know. I don't know what the purpose of why Bruce needed to be so hush-hush about this. Because it's not at the end, like he explains that he was afraid that Cute Eye Ken was going to kill Robin too. Right. Or that this was something that he had to do on his own for honor or whatever. To defend the honor of his
right.
sensei. Or...
And they get a little bit more into this in the sequel episode, spoiler alert, Day of the Samurai, about... kind of the difference between a ninja and a samurai in Japanese culture, and why, you know, Batman, you know, wants to fight for honor, whereas Kyodai Ken fights for, you know, power and money. But yeah, here in this episode, and again, as of the time this aired, you would have no idea. I mean, he doesn't capture the ninja at the end. The ninja jumps out a window and lands in like splashes into a reservoir, and they never found his body. So you're kind of aware that he's out there, but you wouldn't know that there's going to be a direct sequel to this episode coming. So as it stands, it's kind of like this guy who has an issue with Bruce, and Bruce is kind of being needlessly like cagey with Robin, and then Robin helps him, and Bruce kind of says, all right, good job, kid. And then that's sort of where we leave it. But yeah, overall, like, again, I don't think it's a terrible episode. There's certainly some fun parts in it, and it was cool to see, you know, Robin get to be a pretty useful part of the episode and not just the quip machine this week. But yeah, overall, kind of just in the middle of the pack there.
Agreed.
And we are moving right along, Cal. We will go to visuals and animation next. This is another one that's, I think, there are some cool moments, definitely some cool shots. Some of the animation of the different weapons used is well done, but also, and we talk, it seems like it ends up being when we talk about Batman the Animated Series, we end up talking about more about the animation itself and guys being off model. And we've talked about that because when Superman and the new Batman Adventures came, they kind of made a conscious decision to really simplify the designs of everyone so that people wouldn't be so off model so often. But this is definitely an example of every... And it's not super bad. It's not the tick chin Batman. Robin doesn't look terrible or anything, but everyone just looks a little bit off. And I don't know if some of that's in the storyboarding or if that's in the animation. I believe this is another one done by Dong Yang. But either way, it was kind of just a little off for me. And also some of the shadow work was weird, I thought.
Yeah, there's a couple of scenes where it's supposed to be the scene in particular that I'm thinking of is the part of the episode where they're on the rooftop, the first interaction between the ninja and Batman, and mm-hmm. it's the ninja jumps on the roof and it looks like a bright middle of the day shot, and then the next thing you know they actually cut to the sky and the clouds roll over the moon, and then the clouds roll again and Batman appears. And it's clearly nighttime at that point. And
right.
the scene sort of darkens a little bit, but it still looks to be middle of the day, bright, shining.
Yeah.
I get it's a full moon, but you're in the middle of a city. It doesn't matter. Like, there's
right.
light pollution. Like, that's a thing. I don't know. Maybe I'm nitpicking too much here, but that's what we do here at the DCAU.
Correct.
We nitpick. there are... People look a little off model. I thought it was an interesting choice not to give the ninja any sort of suit highlight. So he is stark contrast, paint can fill and MS paint black
mm-hmm.
as midnight for
yeah.
his suit. And there's no sort of definition of sort of hands or feet or knuckles or no sort of shadow, which is interesting because going back, and if you've ever read the Batman animated book, that's sort of chronicles a lot of the stuff from Batman the Animated Series. Mm-hmm. Very, very good book. Recommend getting. It's very hard to get nowadays, yeah. from what I understand, but if you have the opportunity to pick it up, please do. But, you know, if you look at the original way that the character models were drawn for Batman, they always made sure to tell the animation team of how they wanted Batman's backlighting done so that it wasn't stark contrast of, I mean, it wasn't a black on background type right. look, that he had to have those suit highlights. So I felt like it wasn't awful. It wasn't the case where we've seen it in episodes like Pretty Poison, which is available in the archives at dcaureview.com, mm-hmm. but where you have these characters that are drawn in later on that don't have much shadow work done, and it looks like a bad cartoon from that era. So it doesn't look bad. It just looks weird. And I thought it was an odd choice not to give him any sort of backlighting at all for mm-hmm. his costume when everybody else around him has highlights on their costume. He's not a very interesting looking character. I jokingly said as we were watching this episode that somebody was watching the old G.I. Joe cartoons and was like, what if Snake Eyes was a Batman villain?
Right.
So, you know, as a character, you know, some cool, he runs very uniquely. He has mm-hmm. that lurch forward and run.
He does the Naruto run, yeah.
Yes, which I thought was pretty cool. The tattoo on his back looks like a very traditional Japanese tattoo. If you're familiar with any, it's pretty accurate as far as Japanese tattoos are concerned. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a neat look. But there's nothing too terribly visually eye-grabbing in this episode yeah. that I thought was great. And because of that, you go back to the characters and whether or not they're on model or not. And you're right, a lot of them, they don't look bad, but there's just something that's a little off about them.
Yeah, I think to me, maybe the standout sequence is probably when Robin and the ninja have their little fight near the end of the episode. And it's very brief, but it's just, they have a little hand-to-hand thing. The ninja pulls out his sword. He cuts one of the support beams of the water tower that's on top of the building. And the water comes splashing down, basically washes Robin away off the building. And you see, as the ninja looks down, you see all the water running down the building, and then they kind of show you at the end there that Robin had been able to catch a windowsill on his way down. And I thought that was really well done. But as you mentioned, and then the final scene, they're in a warehouse. There's like a couple of random statues, and as we mentioned, a stack of carpeting, which had to be there for so that Robin could use his slingshot. You know, that famous Robin weapon, a slingshot.
Of course.
To knock the carpet over Summer Gleason's head, so Bruce could fight him.
I will say that the hand to hand combat fights, whether it's in the flashback to the dojo, mm-hmm. where they're sort of the camera sort of pans around in circles as Kudai and Bruce are sort of circling each other, and then that's again sort of done in the scene with Robin versus the ninja, and then again done in the scene, the very final scene where Bruce is fighting Kyurai Ken. I think that was done very mm-hmm. uniquely and done really well. But it's also the same thing done three different times, I think is
sure.
It's like, do something new.
Yeah. The other only thing is in the flashbacks, they kind of all have this sepia tone mm-hmm. filter over them, which I think gives it sort of a harkening back to like an old Kung Fu movie from the 60s and 70s maybe, or some other kind of older movie like that. It's an interesting idea, and I like the way to make Bruce Wayne look young is they just give him bangs. Like, and I get, and like, he looks a little smaller, like he's not quite as,
he's a little skinnier.
Yeah, yeah. They don't give a specific age he's supposed to be. He looks maybe around the same age as maybe when we see him in this looked pre like Phantasm to me, or obviously pre Robin's Reckoning right. era. So he's a bit younger than even then, so this might be like supposed to be like college age Bruce or, mm-hmm. or something like that. But yeah, overall, I guess we can get into scores here. Cal, I gave visuals and animation, again, I thought it was good, not great, and some of those things that we mentioned kind of brought it down for me. So I ended up giving visuals and animation a 6 out of 10.
I happen to give it the same exact score, 6 out of 10. Just as a reminder, we don't share our scores with correct. Each other. So this came about totally organically.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, 6 out of 10 for me as well.
All right, and moving right along to, I think, Cal, maybe the strongest part of this whole episode, and that is, in fact, the music. All of the flashback scenes have a very, I'm afraid of what word to use to describe it. There's a lot of flute music, like...
it's very culturally appropriate.
Yes, yes. I don't know if that would be described as Japanese-inspired music, yeah, Asian...
That's a good way of
putting it. Oriental culture. I'm not... I hope I'm using the right words. I'm certainly not trying to offend anyone, but they use that movie, and it never came across, and we'll actually get to that in voice acting too, it never came across as like a stereotypical, like, no one gives like a big speech about honor, and there aren't any like Mickey Rooney type Asian stereotype accents used. So I thought they were honestly, I thought, very respectful of that culture, and they established that, you know, his training as a samurai, and again, we'll see that more in the sequel episode, but, that this does mean a lot. This is very personal to Bruce, that this is sort of where he maybe develops some more of that sense of honor and justice that drives him as Batman. And I thought the music plays a part of that, of him fighting with Kyotai Ken in the past, and then also kind of being taught by his sensei, Sensei Yoru. And then in the present day, we actually get a theme for the ninja, which is funny that a character that's kind of this low on the totem pole still got a pretty unique theme for their episode as well.
Yeah, it really, that theme in particular really builds the anticipation of the fight, the battle, and it plays a lot during those moments of where the camera is sort of panning around and circling, and it builds to this crescendo of instruments, and it really heightens the excitement of when the clash is actually going to begin. So I think it does harken back to maybe some of those kung fu-ish movies or those, you know, those movies, those karate movies from the 60s and 70s, and certainly brings about memories from that. So I think they do a great job of paying tribute to those, like you said, without being disrespectful, without being stereotypical in what they chose to do, which, kudos to them. This was not a time where that was something that was necessarily thought about or cared about, certainly as much as it is here in the year 2019. So kudos to them for that. Yeah, the music for this episode stands out. Like you said, there's the Japanese-inspired music throughout the beginning, and definitely through the flashbacks, and then that ninja theme that comes in. That actually plays a big role from my recollection in The Day of the Samurai, which we'll be reviewing the next time that we cover Batman, the animated series. Well, not the next episode, but in the next month that we cover Batman, the animated series. We'll be covering that one. So definitely look forward to hearing that again. But it's very, very strong. And this is a case in an episode where we've already talked about maybe the plot wasn't so great. Animation hasn't been super, super good. But this is a case where the music brings up the value and brings up the score of the episode for being how good it is and what it added to it. So kudos again. We can't say enough great things about Shoei Walker and the things that she did for this cartoon. Taking things like this, where episodes that may be considered mediocre or sort of, you know, subpar, and taking them and bringing the score up. For that reason, because I love the music in this episode and it's so strong, I gave it a perfect 10 out of
10. Yeah, I'm right in that same ballpark. I went 9 out of 10. It's great for all the reasons that we've mentioned here. And again, it's just always fun, and we've talked about that with certain other episodes that kind of seem like throwaway episodes or episodes that don't feature a big major villain. You wouldn't necessarily... if you'd asked me before I sat down to watch this today, what's the theme of the ninja in Batman? I probably couldn't have told you, but once I heard it again, I was like, oh yeah, this is great. And that's something that can happen in a lot of those type of episodes here. And today was another great example of that, Cal.
Yep.
And that brings us to our final category, which is, of course, voice acting. We have some guest players. Obviously, we have the returning Marie Devon as Summer Gleason, who is there to just be a giant pain in everyone's buttocks.
We get to see some more of her just delivering news reports in this episode. There's an odd scene that seems a little bit out of place where she goes and talks to the editor of, I guess, the TV station?
Yeah.
And where she's talking about how she's going to pursue Bruce Wayne to find out what the secret is behind his, you know, this person that's clearly has a personal attack against the Wayne name.
Yeah.
So I think she does a decent job. It's fine.
And then we have Chaoli Chi as Sensei Yoro. Most famously was probably a character in Big Trouble in Little China, which is a pretty famous Kurt Russell movie from the mid 80s. He doesn't have a lot to do in this episode. I believe he comes back in Day of the Samurai, and we get to hear more from him. But he's a good wise teacher to kind of impart some wisdom on Bruce. And I also, again, as we mentioned in music, and we'll mention here in voice acting, it was an actual a Japanese man playing a Japanese role, which again I don't think was super common in voice acting roles in this era. So
you just have somebody doing a very racist interpretation,
right? So it's very cool that they actually it shouldn't be like, oh my god, what a good thing it is that they cast a Japanese man to play a Japanese man, but again, different era. And I did think that was worth pointing out. And then of course we had Robert Ito as Kyodai Ken / the ninja. A lot of voice acting work in his repertoire, including playing the Mandarin on the 1990s Iron Man animated series.
Another animated series that's near and dear to our hearts, despite being...
it's not good.
Not good at all.
Second season was better. When they, like, the animation... A lot of those cartoons went through, like... They put a little more money behind the later seasons of them. That and the Fantastic Four cartoon as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, that first season's... Whew, pretty rough, but he in fact was the voice of the Mandarin there. I think he does a good job. Again, I think he's let down a little bit by what the details of the plot is.
Mm-hmm.
I think, as you said, if it had been just a straight revenge plot, things may have been even better than they were. Mm-hmm. But overall, I think he does a pretty good job as the antagonist here.
Yeah, he's not terrible. I would say that he probably, because he's a ninja, ironically, ninjas don't talk much.
Right.
But he does carry a lot of the conversation in the mode, because it's a lot of taunting of Bruce, and it's a lot of sort of, spiking the football once he has Bruce captured.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's perfectly fine. I didn't think there was anything wrong with his version of it. I'd be curious to see if he gets more time to shine, because I feel like there's more of that sort of chiding and boasting and chest thumping in the next episode that he's in. So
yes,
be interested to see how that continues to work out.
And then of course we have our leads here. We have Ephraim Zimbalist as Alfred in a brief role. We have Lauren Lester as Robin. I think this is another good one for him. He does again have some pretty cheesy lines.
Yeah.
Some very 90s or maybe even like 80s insults to throw out, like when he calls the ninja a dipstick.
Yeah.
So not everything's great. But again, I put that more in the writing. I thought Lauren Lester did a pretty good job as Robin. Again, I like that he had a role to play, and it didn't feel like they just shoved him in to have him in the episode. I thought Lauren Lester did a pretty good job there.
I agree.
And then Kevin Conroy, who... I wouldn't say this is one of his better episodes, but he does get to flex his muscles a little more, because he has to play young Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
He plays, of course, Batman. He plays, Bruce doing his Bruce Wayne voice. And then there's kind of like a hybrid of the two when before Summer Gleason is carpeted, she's watching him. So he's doing the fake Bruce Wayne voice, where it's a little higher pitch, but he's speaking very seriously. So yeah. It's like it's kind of weird to hear him, like, because most of the time that Bruce Wayne voice is used for almost for comedy or for a lighter moment, and here he's doing the Bruce Wayne voice but having this sort of serious standoff with Kyodai Ken. I don't think this is his best episode, but I do appreciate that he had a lot to do and a lot of different versions of Batman and Bruce Wayne's voice to do.
I thought in particular that final scene with him and Dick at breakfast, where Dick finally sort of is like, hey, am I going to get some thanks for doing, helping you out here? And he sort of relents and says, he shows a softer side of the hardened Batman voice. Like it was, it took some chops. I appreciated it.
Yeah. So I guess that'll bring us to our scores here for voice acting, Cal. I went, like I said, I think it's good. I don't think it's perfect. I don't think it's great. I gave it a 7 out of 10.
Ha ha. I also gave it a 7 out of 10.
How about that? 3 out of 4. Reason.
Hey, 3 out of 4, exact same scores.
And that'll bring us to our final scores.
There we go.
And Cal, I am totaling up all of my scores, and I have a total of 28 out of 40.
Unbelievable. I also have a score of 28 out of 40. So not a bad episode. Now, as far as watchability, rewatchability, watching this again, what would you say?
It's funny. I think if you're watching Batman, if you're just trying to get through Batman the Animated Series, I would say yes, just because there is another episode that's a direct sequel to this episode. And it does flesh out who Bruce Wayne is a bit more. But if you're looking for just, like, cream of the crop, best of the whole DCAU, I think this is a skip.
Yeah, we're getting to that point now where there are episodes that we know are coming down the line. Like, if we didn't know that there was a sequel to this episode,
right,
would we say see it or skip
right.
it?
Right.
And it's like, well, we know there's another episode down the line, so I guess you have to say see it because you would have to know what this episode was in order to watch that episode.
Right.
But not knowing whether or not we're going to say see or skip that episode,
right.
I don't know.
It might not be worth it by the time we get there.
It's hard to say because it's sort of a pseudo two-parter. It's not mandatory watching, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, there's enough fun in it, I think, where you can watch it, sit down and enjoy it. Don't go out of your way to see it. It's not on, don't put it on your Netflix queue, I guess, you know, or your DC Universe queue.
Yep.
Speaking of which, what a value that DC Universe is, am I right?
Yep, and we aren't being paid, but we certainly would like to be. So.
Don't forget, DC Universe, if you're listening.
Just a reminder.
But yeah, don't go out of your way to put it on your queue, but hey, if it pops up when you're watching it, go ahead and sit down and watch it, sure.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And that will wrap us up for today, Cal. Thank you, everybody, for listening. This was, of course, our 82nd episode. And, of course, as I've already probably tweeted out, and we probably posted it on our Instagram as well, Cal, but starting next month, do you want to let the listeners know what we'll be covering for the month of December?
Absolutely. We are excited to head back to the future, but not the all the way future.
Not the future.
Not the future, no. We're headed a little bit further in the timeline of the DC Universe, the animated universe here, and we're going to be covering some Justice League for the month of December. So not just Batman, but Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Martian Manhunter, Green Lantern, The Flash, and who else will show up.
Yeah.
So very excited to tackle some more of those, and month of December is here, end of the year already.
Crazy to think about it. So we've packed so many reviews into this year, done a lot of cool stuff, and we're definitely excited to go out with a bang, if you will, with our last month here of Justice League reviews. Looking forward to that, of course. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at DCAU Review. You can follow us on Instagram, same thing, at DCAU Review. And that's it. And until next week, I'm Liam.
And I'm Cal.
And we'll be back soon with another episode of the DCAU Review.
Bye-bye.